Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
This is Our Shepherd's View on this fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. My name is Jesse DeLeon, and we welcome Father James Stembler, the Vicar General of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, who is sitting in for Bishop Michael Mulvey today. Good morning, Father Stembler.
Good morning, Jesse. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
We're glad to be here with Our Shepherd's View today, and we will be sharing this Sunday's gospel and going over the scripture passages for this Sunday, as Father will share with us the gospel this morning.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Imagery all over this gospel.
Oh, yes, yes, very much so. Okay, so we're continuing with the Sermon on the Mount. We're now beyond what are the Beatitudes, and now we're into the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus mentioning about what we heard last week about being blessed. Now he's taking that a little further, I think, and saying that we're salt and light. You know, think about that. We're salty and we're light-filled. Do we always think that? What does salt do? Salt livens, of course it raises your sodium level, but salt livens the flavor of food. It brings out the flavor in food. It gives it taste. It gives it
distinction.
Distinction. There, thank you very much. And then what does light do? It enables us to see. I mean, how much do we remember when we were little? Many of us, if not all of us, were scared of the dark. We wanted to leave some light on in the bedroom when we went to bed. Mm-hmm. You know, some people maybe a light in the closet, maybe a night light in a outlet. We wanted some light because being in total darkness was spooky. But how many of us have in a dark room just one candle, light, that one candle, and look and see how much one candle casts a glow over a dark room and gives a warmth, a feeling of warmth in the space. It's amazing how much a candle lights up an area. And we heard this in the Christmas season, about the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And the great light being mentioned was, of course, Jesus and the birth of Jesus, and how we have been asked to take up that light by virtue of our baptism, to take up that light and witness to that light and cast that light onto others. And so I think what Jesus is trying to help us understand is that this is not a secret. You know, I was once a part of something in the church, and someone said, you know, this is the best kept secret in the church. Well, we shouldn't be a secret. I mean, we're called to bring light and taste to the world, to help the world understand, people understand, that this is liveliness, that what God has given us is lively, is good, is something to witness to, and people should see that in us. I mean, being called a witness, that, you know, that means something. We're doing something. And maybe, you know, we may not be standing on a street corner drawing attention to ourselves, but nevertheless, we are living a life that people take notice in. I you know, the early church, the first few centuries of the church, you know, the Romans, of course, the whole thing about persecution was, you know, that's going to get rid of Christians because we're putting them to death. But look what it did. It brought numbers and numbers and numbers into the church because people saw in the witness of those who went to be martyred, look at that. They have meaning in their life. There's something that's driving them on, even in the face of death. Mm-hmm. You know, by golly, you know, it'd be nice to live a life that drives you in that respect, that it's not just humdrum. I have to get up. I got to go to work. I got to go to bed. I've got to, you know, it's just the same old every day, yada, yada, y'all. You know, but look, at there's something that's driving them, and that's the faith. And so we're called to witness to that. It should not be a secret.
And as witnesses, that light comes forth from us, which is what Jesus refers to. Mm-hmm. It can be a literal light, but it can also be something where you're in a room with someone and your attitude, your belief, your witness, as you said, mm-hmm. draws light into the room and moves away from negativity.
Right. You know, and I mean, I've experienced, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people have experienced some, you know, what is it? What? You know, how can you keep going? What is it? Well, you know, I mean, it doesn't seem that it's getting to you. I mean, even though there's a lot going on, it doesn't seem to be bringing you down. What is it that keeps you going? And I mean, the witness is amazing, and it's not something that we advertise. Mm-hmm. We're just living it out.
We may not always be conscious that we're doing it, but
right.
But the fact
but
that
it's happening.
We come to the table with what Jesus has taught us, and mm-hmm. we exemplify those attitudes, and that shines hopefully forth right. to people that may not know it yet.
Right.
And
yeah,
we help them.
It's like the gospel says, your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. It just goes without saying. It's mm-hmm. going to happen. We just need to be about it. And I mean, I used to say, I probably still do, and sometimes in homilies, you know, it's not a matter of coming to church. You take, like, you used to put your coat on a hook in the classroom uh-huh. back in my day when I was in elementary school, and then you picked it up on the way home in the winter. Mm-hmm. But that's not what the faith is. We don't pick the faith off a hook when we come into church, live it out for the hour or whatever it is, and then we put it back on the hook and go out and live our life. No, we're taking all of that out. We're living all of that out. Faith is not a sometime thing. It's a 24/7 thing. And it's not something that, it's not a bunch of bullet points, I'm doing it. We're living it. I mean, faith is not something I do. Faith is something I live. It's a part of me. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even imagine living without that faith.
It becomes so much a part of you that when you experience other people, it's evident,
yeah.
whether you really realize it or not. It becomes mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you've chosen to embrace those values and show others that you are walking in the Lord's light and putting forth what you believe that he has guided us toward.
Yeah, yeah. Our light shines. Well, it should. Our light mm-hmm. should shine, and that's just a matter of living it. Not being afraid of it, not being shy about it, but just living it.
And doing that presents a lot of challenges. Like we mentioned previously in last week's show, a lot of times we get caught up in ourselves without really realizing that, okay, I'm going to offer this up. I think a lot of times too, I was a product of the Catholic school too. And a lot of times you go through and I have to do this. And you begin to realize as you go through, you're getting toward the upper years in school before you go to middle school, you begin to realize, hey, I'm actually okay at whether it's art, whether it's sports, whether it's public speaking, whatever it is, and you begin to realize those. But I think the great thing about that experience is you're told that, yes, you have that gift, but you have to give it back because the Lord gave it to you for others, not just for your own.
Right.
I guess for your own accolades or for your own self-congratulatory feeling or whatnot. And it's okay to feel good about your ability, but to offer it always to people. And I think that that's one of the things that people tend to forget. Let me offer this up today. It may not be perfect, but I'm offering this up from my ability to do whatever gift I'm able to offer forth.
You said something earlier. Every so often you'll hear an adult say, well, I've got to go to Mass because I'm obligated to go. And I look forward to a day when adults will no longer say, I've got to go to Mass. Mm-hmm. It's, I want to go to Mass because of what it gives me, what it enables me to be about, and how that helps me be able to go out and witness, go out and let the light shine, go out and be salty. So I want to be at Mass. I want to experience that worship because that'll help me be able to do what I am being called to.
A sense of revitalization, mm-hmm. both spiritual and also among community, like we mentioned before, mm-hmm. where you're not just there for you, you're there with everyone, and it is a celebration of both Word and Eucharist, which I think a lot of people, when they leave Mass, whether they said that they had to go or not, they feel uplifted at the end, and hopefully they'll take that with them into the week, not just in for the afternoon, like you mentioned before.
Right.
And beyond, too. That's something that I think a lot of us tend to, just because of the busyness of our days, we tend to forget. But I think that a lot of times being reminded of it is something that we can take to heart and also take away from this week's scripture passages. So we are talking with Father James Stembler, who is the Vicar General of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. He is in for Bishop Michael Mulvey on today's Our Shepherd's View, and we will continue right after the break.
Our Shepherd's View will be right back.
The Schoenstatt Movement has a very special Valentine's celebration planned for married couples on Saturday, February 18th at 4 p.m. It's entitled, Bless This Marriage, and is a renewal of the covenant of love with Mary and the sacrament of marriage. Following the opening prayer and Holy Mass will be dinner and a special presentation. All will take place at the 4343 Gaines Street location in Corpus Christi. Married couples may get more information and register for this event by calling the Schoenstatt office, 361-992-9841.
Our Shepherd's View continues.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. We are here with Father James Stembler, the Vicar General of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, and for Bishop Michael Mulvey this morning. And it is the first Sunday in February, already February. And we are going to share the Word of Life for this month.
Feel safe in God's presence. And from the book of Genesis, you are the God who sees me. The verse for this month's Word of Life is taken from the book of Genesis. The words are spoken by Hagar, Sarah's slave, who was given in marriage to Abraham because Sarah could not bear children and ensure offspring. When Hagar discovers she is pregnant, she feels superior to her mistress. The mistreatment she then receives from Sarah eventually forces her to flee into the desert. There she has a unique encounter with God and receives the promise of offspring in a way that is similar to the pledge made by God to Abraham. The son to be born will be called Ishmael, which means God has heard. God takes Hagar's anguish upon himself and gives her a lineage. You are the God who sees me. Hagar's reaction reflects the belief commonly held in the ancient world that human beings could not sustain close contact with the divine. Hagar was surprised and grateful to have survived what had taken place. She felt God's love in the desert, the privileged place where we can experience a personal encounter with him. Hagar was aware of his presence and felt loved by a God who had seen her in her painful situation, a God who cares for and surrounds his sons and daughters with love. He is not an absent, distant God, indifferent to the fate of humanity or to the fate of each one of us, wrote Focolare founder Chiara Lubich in a gospel commentary in 2006. So many times we experience this. He is here with me. He is always with me. He knows everything about me and shares my every thought, every joy, every desire. He bears with me all my trials and worries. You are the God who sees me. This word of life revives certainty and gives us comfort. We are never alone in our journey through life because God is there and loves us. Sometimes, like Hagar, we feel like strangers on this earth, or we look for ways to escape from challenging and painful situations. But we must be certain of God's presence and our relationship with him. He sets us free, reassures us, and always allows us to start again. This was P's experience of living alone during the pandemic. Since the start of the total lockdown of all activity in our country, I have been alone in my home. There is no one with whom I can have physical contact or who can share this experience with me. So I try to fill the day as best I can. As time goes by, however, I feel more and more discouraged, and I find it very hard to fall asleep at night. Sometimes I feel as if I will never escape from this nightmare. However, I feel strongly that I must rely completely on God and believe in his love. I have no doubts about his presence. I am certain that he accompanies and comforts me during these lonely months. I realize that I am not alone because of the little signs that come to me from my neighbors. An example was the time when I was celebrating a friend's birthday online. And immediately afterwards, my neighbor left a slice of cake by my door. You are the God who sees me. We too can be messengers of God's love because we are held safe in his presence. Indeed, we are called to see the needs of others. Help our neighbors when they feel they are alone in the desert and share their joys and sorrows. We are frequently absorbed in personal matters, and an effort is needed on our part to recognize the needs of humanity around us. We can stop and draw close to those who are searching for meaning and answers to life's many questions. They may be friends, family, acquaintances, neighbors, colleagues, people in financial difficulty, or perhaps people who are socially marginalized. We can remember and share with others those precious moments in which we encountered God's love and rediscovered the meaning of our lives. We can face difficulties together. And when we feel we must cross the desert, we can discover the presence of God in what is happening around us. This gives us confidence to continue our journey.
And the story of the gentleman there from the pandemic, I think a lot of people can relate to, whether they were quarantining or not, that feeling of being isolated, that feeling of being alone, mm-hmm. and finding comfort in the words of this month's Word of Life, give us the assurance that God never leaves our side. He's always watching us. He's always with us. And having that tying, of course, into this week's gospel, of course, about connecting and being unified, it brings it all full circle, so to speak.
Right, right. Once someone told me, you know, we had become very close. This was years ago. We had become very close, and he was leaving and going on. And he said, you know, we'll be connected in prayer. And that was great words of comfort, that somehow through God we are connected, and we are. Maybe we're not in each other's eyesight, mm-hmm. but still there is that connection that is accomplished in prayer that I think is mindful of these words of Hagar's, you are the God who sees me, mm-hmm. that God, we are always in the presence of God. There is no time when we are not in the presence of God. And yes, sometimes we think, oh my gosh, he's watching everything I do. But by the same token, we're not alone. We are loved. We are being given comfort, support. And hopefully that knowledge and understanding will enable us to be that support to others.
And in doing so, that connection remains, whether, like you said, we can see them or we know they're close by, or if they have either moved away or if they've already passed away, we still keep them in our hearts, and that connection remains. It never weakens, as long as those prayers continue, and the knowledge, of course, knowing that God is watching us. So we thank you for your reflection on that, Father. Also, speaking of people that have been in God's company for a very long time, this weekend we are celebrating the World Day of Prayer for Consecrated Life. And the church traditionally celebrates the religious who are celebrating jubilees on this day. Now, this year, the Diocese of Corpus Christi, 15 jubilarians.
Right,
who will be celebrated in just a little while at the 9:30 Mass at Cathedral. So many of them share our good thoughts and prayers with. Sister Christina Bradley, 70 years of faithful service. Also ahead of that, I'm sorry, 75 years of consecrated life. Sister Christina Bradley, 70 years would be Sister Maria Elizabeth Brahoni. Is that her?
Brahoni, yeah.
Brahoni. And the 60 years, Sister Michelle Marie Kuncher, and they'll be celebrated, like I said, in just a little while here at the Mass at Cathedral for all of the service that they have put forth.
Right.
And I'm sure you have encountered them.
Oh, yes. No, they're wonderful sisters and wonderful individuals. And what a beautiful offering of so many years of religious life and giving of themselves in the different apostolates that they have accomplished. It certainly is a wonderful moment for them, but a wonderful moment for their order and for us in the diocese to receive their good work that they've accomplished for the building up of the body of Christ.
And for so many generations as well.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I didn't have the blessing of being in the diocese earlier in my life, but there were many sisters who taught at my Catholic school growing up. And both them and these sisters that we honor today, you see them, they're always so happy.
Right.
And they always have such a great spirit about uh-huh. them. And we thank them for their dedication, and we keep them in our prayers as we honor them today.
Correct.
All right, Father.
God's blessings to them and to the orders that are being represented, and to all the consecrated sisters and brothers in the Diocese of Corpus Christi, many thanks for your dedication and service and for your good work for us.
And it continues. Right. As we bless them today, we thank them for that. And thank you, Father, for your blessing there as we ask you to offer us another blessing as we conclude today's Our Shepherd's View.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the witness that you will give us the opportunity to give each day to help people understand the goodness and the beauty of living the life that you have given us and living that to the best of our ability. I ask you to watch over all of us as we continue to be salt and light in this world and help all come to understand the beauty of your creation and being and living our lives as you have called us to live them. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.